Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Join me as I seek out the small incremental changes being applied in other industries that we can learn from and that can be applied in healthcare. Can these changes bring immediate value, but also add up to the big improvements and revolution we need in healthcare? Come along with me to explore the possibilities. My innovative guests from around the globe have used small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot.
And today, I'm delighted to be joined by Robert Fenton. He is the CEO and founder of Qualio. Robert, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
So, as I do with all my guests, tell us a little bit about your background and how you arrived here. You've got some international components that I think are interesting and obviously a journey that has led you to this specific point in time. Share a little bit of that, if you would, please.
Of course. So the short version of my story so far is that I'm from Ireland. Growing up, I was fascinated by science, you know, technology, chemistry. Followed that into studying pharmacy in university, where I was fortunate enough, while studying and shortly thereafter, to work in some of the world's largest pharmaceutical companies in quality roles and drug development roles. And also make friends with several people across the broader life sciences, like medical devices and other support services. And that's where I realized basically 12 months after graduating that there was this very interesting problem set that we felt nobody else is really solving for, and started working on what eventually kind of became the idea for Qualio. And graduating in 2008 gives you a different perspective, right, from other times of the world. So you tend to be a bit more creative with where you spend your time and your focus. So started working on the problem, which came from that observation, which was essentially that companies in healthcare, I think we all understand this, right? So companies in healthcare make this co-equal promise that Hippocratic Oath the doctor takes. So you take the Hippocratic Oath, a part of that is, at first, do no harm. In order for you as a doctor, as a medical professional, to make good on that promise, you might use a stethoscope, or you might give somebody a drug, or you might do one of a million different therapeutic diagnostic devices to support you. They need to be safe, to be effective, and to work consistently. That is essentially this promise of quality. And what I noticed was that it was archaic how these companies were able to deliver on that. And the way I viewed the problem was that it's incredible that, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest challenge facing teams trying to get life-saving products out into the world is this false binary choice between product quality and business velocity. And that was like the insight back a decade ago now that we started pulling on, that kind of led to Qualio. And of course, after launching and bootstrapping for a couple of years, realized most of our customers were here in the United States. So decided to take the leap from Ireland to California, and living here now in the Bay Area since, and have built a company up from there. So that's a short version of the background.
I was going to say a big change from Ireland to the Bay Area, but actually I'm not so sure. I think, it's quite an international area, I'm sure, and you found customers there. So not so much. And obviously that was part of the reason for the move. For the benefit of people listening, tell them what Qualio is and what it does.
Yeah. The easiest way to describe Qualio is that we are a modern quality platform for companies across medical devices, pharma, and biotech. What we do is we help you bring safe products to market quickly and then scale successfully. We do that by simplifying FDA and ISO regulatory compliance. And we also give you, for the first time, a single source of truth that connects all the teams and processes and data that impact ultimate product quality, be it product issues, customer issues, suppliers, and connecting all your product development together so you can prove that or know yourself that this device has been tested to meet that really important requirement. It's incredibly complicated. And, complexity does not equal success. And we found a way to build it in a way that's simple, accessible, and again, solves for that problem that we see in the world, which is, quality and velocity being seen as opposing forces. And in this new world we're in, That's just not okay. We're in a world right now where, and you know, before we started the recording, we were just talking that, you know, we have customers who are one person in their garage, all the way to public companies, to a household name in the vaccine R&D business. And what's amazing is that the new companies being born in this space are faster moving, they're smaller, they're nimbler. And for them, velocity is like oxygen. So for this revolution that's happening in healthcare to be successful, we need to be able to help them move, you know, at a very high speed to build, iterate, and launch their products while still giving them the ability to meet quality standards that exist for really good reasons.
So I think for most people listening, and you know, this is even true for myself, as I sort of look at the environment for development of medical devices, pharma, and so forth, a lot of that's a mystery. I think there's been an awful lot of people suddenly become more aware as a result of the pandemic and, you know, more focus on trials. And, you know, I've certainly got an awareness, but when it comes to the regulatory piece, you've really got to be deeply invested in it. Before you came along, and not you individually, but you, Qualio, and, you know, a different way of looking at it, how did this happen? What was the process and why was it so difficult?
Well, the why was it so difficult, I think, can be answered with, when it comes to the products we put in and on our bodies, you know, we want to trust they're safe to work effectively and work consistently, right? This idea of quality. Without technology to support that, doing that is an incredibly time-consuming process. We're trying to connect every single activity in the company such that if something happens down the line, you can trace it back and find out who did what on what day to what version of your software or what batch of your product. And it was an incredible paperwork mountain. I will tell you that some of our first customers, one of them was, the ROI for Qualio was, do we purchase a building next door for paperwork or do we purchase Qualio? Just to put that in some perspective. And even in university, studying pharmacy, we were studying some of the drug development pathways, right? Which is one of the core segments that we support. And it's like 10 years and $10 billion. Insanity. And I think the things that have driven that old world, new world are, A, the type of companies being born. It's not only Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer and Merck and Gilead and Boston Scientific now building products. There are people being funded in startup accelerators for $100,000, people bootstrapping their way. So that is a major change in like what's changing, how it all works. But on the regulatory side, I mean, before these regulatory agencies will allow you to sell your product, you have to prove to them not only that it works and it's safe and it's effective, but you have all the data that supported that. So how did you design the product or molecule? How did you prove with an audience that it was safe? Did you randomize those? Were they all the same demographic? Were they all in the same country? Did some of them have comorbidities or conditions? And that's like, I don't think people understand how complicated that really is. So it made sense that it took that time. Now what we're seeing, though, is technology is being applied. So, for example, in the clinical trial space, several of our customers are revolutionizing that, where you can very quickly get this spun up, really great data in ways that are way quicker. At the Qualio side, give you just one example of one of our customers. They're called Empatica. They build hardware and algorithms to basically build the future of decentralized clinical trials. And they use AI to kind of analyze data to do that. With Qualio, they were able to use the product development systems that they love. In this case, it was like Atlassian's Jira and some other product development tools. And using that, Qualio automatically pulled all that data together, stitched it, so that they were able to just build a great product, and Qualio outputted all the, you know, voluminous documentation needed for the FDA so they could confirm that, yes, it was safe and yes, it was effective. So that they're just a couple of examples that are kind of worth sharing.
So, you know, historical process, threading back, I think you highlight one of the key areas in, you know, the innovation and development that's taken place over the course of history. And, you know, over the last couple of years, certainly, I've always been an avid reader, but, you know, reading a lot of the history of the development of our treatments, you look back and go, wow, it's shocking we've come as far as we have with some of the mistakes, but we've benefited, we've learned from that. and that contributes. Obviously, that's part of the process that you've included. But one of the things that strikes me as I'm talking to you, and you know, specifically with your move, is this just a US solution, or are you encompassing a broader set? Because I imagine there are differences, and I'm not as familiar as in EU regulatory or other countries. What's your sort of approach to that international aspect? I mean, at some point we ought to be able to do it all in one place, but we're not there yet.
Yeah. You know, it's the same and it's different. Our customers, like, just like we've teammates in over 150 cities globally, our customers are the same. And our first customers were in Ireland and Europe, right? So we do have a lot of customers in the United States because the healthcare market is so vibrant here in terms of company development. But I know our customers span everywhere. And I think the way I look at it is that, you know, aspirin was first synthesized at scale in 1897, I believe. You might want to double check the date of sometime around then. And how that process evolved was there were mistakes that caused harm to the world.
Mm.
And trust went down. Therefore, bureaucracy went up. So in a way, going from then to just recently, it was the seesaw of trust versus bureaucracy. And if you look at trust at a systems level, that's how it works. When trust goes down, paperwork goes up. It's like two opposing sides of a balancing act. What we're seeing now is are ways to both automate the bureaucracy and also ways to build better systems of trust, better data reporting, and better ways to automate information flow, better ways to spot problems earlier. And that's kind of that's what's really happening now to accelerate everything. I know that's a very kind of 50,000 foot view on it, but that's kind of how we look at it. And the different global agencies, be it, you know, the FDA here in the US or the HPRA in Ireland or MHRA in the, you know, the UK or all those different areas, there is an awful lot of consolidation over time because, you know, there is only one best way to a degree, and we're seeing them get closer and closer. But every company we serve wants to be a global company. And what matters is what market you want to sell into. And from the very beginning, it was incredibly important for us to be, our job is to be the quality platform that powers your success to market and scale. Our job isn't to pass an audit. That's like not interesting. Our job, we celebrate when you celebrate. And to do that, we need to be able to support you to scale globally.
So for those of you just joining, I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Today, I'm talking to Robert Fenton. He is the CEO and founder of Qualio. We were just talking about the global nature of development, the differences. But, you know, as you describe it, a consolidation. I mean, I think in hopefully, you know, there is only one way to do the right thing. Or not, maybe not hopefully. I think, you know, we focus in on that single right way. There may be multiple ways, but, you know, hopefully as we learn over time, yeah. You're obviously supporting that, provided a distributed system. Again, as I listen to you, I'm thinking, I go back to the electronic medical record, and, you know, what did we do for that? We said, oh, well, this is how we collect paper records. Let's automate that. And, you know, that really wasn't the smartest move. We didn't sort of rethink it. Have you managed to bring new thought processes, new ways of sort of approaching that gathering of information and that quality flow process?
Yes, there are a couple of ways to look at that I think are useful. One is, and I think it was a fundamental reimagining of what the core problem is, right? I think at the beginning of our conversation, I spoke about this idea that we believe the greatest problem this industry faces is this false choice between moving quickly or moving safely. You know, there's the old adage of it can be fast, it can be high quality, or it can be cheap. Well, healthcare isn't cheap, so it should be fast and high quality. And it's not. It's typically just slow and expensive. And I think that the industry's operated with that, has accepted that. And we've said, no, our job, if we're providing value as a product that's helping this industry, is to help you move at higher and higher velocities and deliver on, you know, and have highly effective products. And we do that in a variety of ways. There's on a pure product level, and we understand that the job isn't to help you translate literally what you do with paper directly into software, because that's not adding value. And you explained that very eloquently yourself. Our job is to understand what is the job to be done. For example, let's take a medical devices company. One of the core pains they have, particularly in earlier stages, is the idea of creating traceability from patient needs to product requirements, to specifications, to testing to prove that it works. Connecting all those dots could be thousands and thousands and thousands of different like linkages in a spreadsheet. We could just build software like some people have done that just kind of builds that view, and you're just working in a software version of that, like an Access database. Instead, we said, okay, wait a second. How do companies build outside of the industry, and how do the customers we speak to want to build? Okay, they use products like Jira, Azure DevOps, they use GitHub. They use these product solutions that are best in class. Why don't we integrate with all of those and in an automated real-time fashion, pull all the data together? And instead of you building a traceability matrix, we would say, Nick, before you push this product for release, you forgot to test that this thing won't break if you drop it, and it's been used by people who have some grip issues. You should probably check that. And it's all automated so that the quality team for the first time can be partners with the organization and the product teams in building great products quickly, as opposed to being the checkbox at the last step who said no or caught you and you're smiling. People can't see that, but like that is the lived experience for people, and it doesn't need to be that way. So that's just on a pure product level. Then there's this idea of the ecosystem, and I talk about this to everybody all day long, every day, which is in the modern world, we no longer live in an age where, you know, Pfizer does everything A to Z. We see that with the vaccine. Pfizer, BioNTech vaccine. I mean, BioNTech did the hard work. The entire world today is this tightly connected ecosystem. And when you speak to some of the leaders at these large multinational companies and founders of early stage 3 to 5 person startups, they will tell you that so much of what to do depends on their critical supplier partners. So much of the data flows from them. And that's why we built our product to serve the entire supply chain. So we work with devices companies, and we work with pharmaceutical biotech companies. We also support the regulated network they depend on, from design, development, laboratories, testing, manufacturing, distribution, packaging. And that allows us to be like a part of the ether, or part of the scaffolding for this ecosystem, which makes it easier to collaborate across companies. So that's another thing that, again, helps move this industry forward. The last thing I'll share is that, you know, we deliberately decided to focus when we first started building the company on we felt were the most innovative companies in the world in this space, because they would push us to think differently around the product offering. So we looked at the companies that were not the top 20 pharmaceutical medical device companies. We looked for the companies that people didn't know about yet, but who were doing incredible things, and they pushed us really hard. And now we've had several of them IPO in the last year, you know, and it's amazing now to growing with those companies and having them educate us around what really matters for like the best in breed in the new world has helped us kind of build a viewpoint. Most of what I've said to you leading in this conversation so far is from working with these new companies. Right. And I think that's given us that edge, and also has given us this ability to hopefully, you know, really see where the puck is going, so to speak, and go there with the market.
So it brings up an interesting point, and it's to me, this is one of those incremental insights. As you look back, it sounds like identifying not the leaders in the space who are maybe sitting on their laurels and saying, yeah, life's good, we're okay. But finding those that are sitting under the radar, hungry for business, who are truly making a difference and changing the way, that was what allowed you to really sort of innovate. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, it is the key. And I think so many, it's the innovator's dilemma, you know, the crossing the chasm, if you read that book by Jeffrey Moore, and that you learn about that it's, you want to make sure that you're anchoring yourself to the right patient population, like the right product customer segment population.
So you talked a little bit about, you know, this quality as an afterthought. Reminds me a lot of security. That's always an afterthought built on to.
A lot of similarities.
Yeah. And, you know, this is sort of building it in. It sounds like the on-ramp for this is exactly the same as, you know, literally people in their garage. I've seen this at DEF CON at the, you know, hacking health section, where people are building their own bio reactors, creating concepts. This is something that anybody can jump into at any point in time and include it as part of their process.
100%. So we work with companies from the first steps of product development through, like I said, to IPO, right, and beyond. And because that's really important. We are a core piece of infrastructure who's there to help you win. And if you're going to outgrow us or need to move off, that's, we're not really adding value for you. And it's also, for me personally, is valuable to be able to watch companies go on that journey. And I think your examples there are fascinating, right? Maybe not if we're in there to hackathon weekend, go crazy. But the moment you start trying to think, well, there's something here. We got to make sure this works, and we have to figure out how to build this such that it can be accepted by the world and will be safe. That is when Qualio comes in.
Interesting.
Or like, that's when quality becomes important. Let's talk
right
about the area rather than what we do. I think that's when quality becomes important and starting to think about that.
Yeah. So, go back far enough. You've sort of been on this journey for a long time. Some things that you've learned along the way. One of the things that you identified, and you know, this has been a foundational piece, is that this distributed company. Yeah. Why was that? Was that part of your international heritage? I mean, I think you've been proven right. I'm just going to say, pandemic said, yay, that's the right thing. But you saw it before. What was it that gave you the insight that said we should do that?
Well, at the time, we've always had that part of our DNA from the beginning. It always felt, I always felt right to me in some ways, just to start working that way. Then it was in early 2019, we had a few of us going into a small, tiny office in San Francisco, a tiny office in Dublin, a tiny office in Wrocław in Poland. And we thought to ourselves, hey, like, why are we getting the worst of both worlds? What if we just, no one went into these tiny offices for a month? How would it be? We ran it for a month and everybody was like, no one would have gone back if I wanted them to. So we just leaned right in. And part of that comes from this, I have this core belief that as somebody who didn't grow up in a large urban metro, I grew up in a small town. And so many people feel they have to leave their communities, leave their families to have a career that's challenging and interesting. And I feel that's, like, again, a false choice, right? The world doesn't need to be that way. We can do something else, and there's a better way to unlock people and unleash people. And now I get to work with people in over 150 cities around the world, powering Qualio. And that's exciting for me to know what's going on and be part of that and help encourage it, right? So there's something deeply meaningful. And it also gives us an edge purely because we get to be local everywhere to our customers easily.
Right. So as you think about the future, what are you excited about? And as you look back, what would you say maybe you would have done differently or you think was really helpful in that sort of journey?
Looking forward, the thing that stands out most is that we are very clearly at the very beginning of something that's like a runaway train, like a reimagining of the healthcare this decade. And it's exciting for me as a participant and as a person at the consumer end of this and as an observer to watch this. It's incredible that it's finally happening here. Again, since over 100 years ago, this kind of kicked off and only now is it really taking off. So it's a great time to be in this industry to watch this. Looking backwards, I got asked this from time to time. My answer is, like, I think we would have taken some bigger bets sooner because we had taken a very contrarian view on the world when we started this. And there wasn't a lot of independent data to support this. And we had to prove it step by step. You know, we did it prudently. We did it step by step. But I think knowing, with the benefit of hindsight, of course, you can go all in right away. So, you know, I don't think I would do it differently if I was back, because I probably still live the same way. But if I could send a letter back to myself, I'd say go for it faster.
Interesting. So I think, you know, potentially as we sort of move to this N of one, this sort of customized precision medicine, we're going to see more of this earlier, you know, applied in sort of more generic terms. Exciting times for that innovation. Your comment about bigger, better reminds me a lot of a phrase that I heard repeatedly in sales, you know, go big or go home. Sometimes that's not always the way, but yes. I clearly a learning opportunity as you look back. Unfortunately, as usual, we've run out of time, so it just remains for me to thank you for joining me on the show. It's been a great pleasure. Robert, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me today. Do you have any better ideas, or have you found a small incremental change that's brought about a big improvement in your world? Let's continue the conversation on our hashtag, TheIncrementalist, or share with me at DrNick1 on Twitter. You can find more information about the show on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com. And tune in next time to hear my discussions with leaders and innovators from around the globe who've revolutionized their space by using small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and I'm starting a revolution through evolution.